Let's read this verse together. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Amen. So welcome to those who are here today, perhaps those who are new or attending for the first time. If you're just visiting today, then you've come on a really good day because we're talking about the vision, the mission of our church, and it gives you a chance to have an insight into what our church is like. And to those who attend regularly, we have just so much to give thanks to God for. God has done so much for us. I've printed in the bulletin some highlights in our church life from the new year, so over the last 6 months. Now, if I've left something out that's important to you, let me know and we can put that in as well, because so much happens, I don't always remember to make a note of it. But God has been doing so much in our church that sometimes, you know, I just forget what's happened, and by the time I look at the highlights again, I've forgotten to write it in. So we have this list, and it's not there so that we can blow our own trumpet, but it's there to remind ourselves of the goodness of God. And at the top of this list, we have a verse from Isaiah. All that you have accomplished, all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. So I invite you to take a moment to look at that list of highlights to identify one of the blessings that you have enjoyed in the last 6 months and to have a quick chat with someone near to you about it. If you're visiting from another church, then tell us something about your church and what your church has done. Take a few moments to chat together. Been something in this last period of time that you have enjoyed? Yes? Great, great. That was marvellous. The Easter video with the children. Marvellous, yep. One more? The day of prayer. That was a great time to be able to have together. So I wonder, as we come to this service today, as well as celebrating these good things that have happened, and we just know that God has been so good to us, and it's so wonderful to have this. As we come and we think about this, we have an opportunity to have a spiritual check-up, to look at our spiritual lives individually, and particularly to think about the life of our church and how we are doing in the life of our church. So perhaps thinking about yourself over the last 6 months, do you feel you're growing stronger in your faith, that your roots are going, spiritual roots are going deeper into the Word of God? Do you find yourself soaring in your prayers and being spiritually fruitful? Do you feel like you're making progress in your spiritual life, that you're maturing and developing and walking more closely with the Lord? Or perhaps, are you struggling with things spiritually at present? Do you feel, in this last 6 months, my faith is waning? A spiritual dryness, a weariness of soul. Does God perhaps seem more distant to you now than he did perhaps 6 months ago? Are you feeling a heavy heart or maybe defeated? If you look at any person in the Bible, Abraham or Moses, Habakkuk, Jeremiah, the disciples of Jesus, John or Peter, you'll find that they have these ups and downs in their spiritual lives. And it's quite normal for us to have ups and downs in our spiritual lives. But do we just sort of drift through these things? Or are we going to do something about them? When we're going through the good times, rising even more in our prayerfulness, or when we're going through the difficult times, will we actually do something about that to lift ourselves, to invite God to lift us out of that place before we get to a really, really low place that's not good at all? And so to help you gauge your life spiritually, we've put on our website, we've also got some hard copies here, a spiritual growth assessment. And if you look at that prayerfully, and if you sit before God and answer the questions, you'll find it's a good tool that will help you to sharpen your idea of what is happening in your life spiritually at present. Now, I know these sorts of things don't work for everyone, so don't get too bogged down in it. If that's not the way that things work for you, that's fine. But I think for many people, you will find this really helpful if you're honest with yourself and with God about where you are. You will find some strength, some things that are really going well in your spiritual life, and you may also find some things that are not quite as good as they could be. I often find in my spiritual life that there is so much to think about in terms of how we grow, how we are shaped, what we focus on, that sometimes I'll pay attention to one area of my spiritual life and not realize that I'm beginning to neglect another. And it's just helpful at times to do this sort of check and to see if there are those areas that we have started to neglect. Now, I don't suppose any of you weigh yourselves in the morning. I find that if I'm losing a little weight, I tend to go back to those scales more often because I like to see that happening. But if I've got this thing in mind that actually I'm putting some weight on, I won't go near those scales, because I don't want them to tell me the uncomfortable truth that I know about my life. And sometimes we do that spiritually. We know that things aren't quite right spiritually in our lives, and so we don't turn to do anything about it. We don't measure it. We don't test it. We don't reflect upon it. And we leave things to get worse. This is the process that Christians call backsliding. Over time, you pray a little less. You don't read the Bible quite so much. You find other things to do on Sunday mornings. And these things tend to take you back to your old way of being. You lose the good spiritual habits. You put distance between yourself and your spiritual friends. You ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You neglect your relationship with God. And then you find yourself in a really dry, dry spiritual place. David said to God, "Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind." Because David knew that he needed to take time before God to allow God to switch on the lights and to deal with him honestly about where he was. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." And it just makes spiritual sense to do a checkup every now and then so that we don't end up in a bad place later on. And as we do that spiritual checkup, often we will find good things that God is doing in which we can rejoice, like the list of highlights that we have today. I find if you don't write them down somewhere, you very, very soon forget them. But if you have them written down and you can go and look back over the last 2 weeks, the last 3 months, it reminds you of what God has been doing in your life, and it causes you to rejoice. Well, today we're not simply thinking about our individual spiritual lives, but also our life together as a church. In the first few months that I was in this parish, it was on the 13th of June, 2012, I asked God for a vision, for a picture that would help me to lead this church. And God spoke to me immediately and forcefully. I knew it was God speaking, and he said these words, "We are a ship set sail." We are a ship set sail. That was the picture that God gave me. Some of you will notice this yacht has an American flag. Just ignore that. That was the only nice yacht I could find. But we are a ship set sail. We need to put an Epsom Eden sign on that yacht. We are a ship set sail. And as soon as God said that to me, I sort of felt a shake in my spirit. And my reaction was, what on earth does that mean? And soon after I started sharing this with the church, been praying about it. I put this phrase on the top of my prayer list. Every day when I pray, I see this. We are a ship set sail. And it gives me a context when I'm praying about the life of our church, what God has said to me about the life of our church. We are a ship set sail. And so God has said a number of things about this to me. We have cast off from the wharf. We've weighed anchor. We've left port. Particularly, we are on a journey. We are making headway. We have charted a course. We're moving in a particular direction. We're not going back. As I was reflecting on this during the week, my childhood experience of leaving home came to mind. So when I, just before my 7th birthday, my family immigrated from Northern Ireland. And I remember very clearly going to the wharf for the ferry, the first stage to go to England as we were coming to New Zealand. And we went onto the ferry and we went up to a railing and we looked over. And there were my grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. They'd come to see us off. Now, as a child, I didn't really understand the fullness of what it meant to leave like that. But there they were, ready to wave us off. We couldn't arrive at our destination unless we left some things behind. And we left behind our family and friends, school, familiar places. In order to start a new life, we had to go on this journey. And as a church, we have set sail. And we've left some things behind. Perhaps this even means that we've left some people behind. People who didn't want to come on board and be part of this ship, be part of this journey. We have, Melanie and I have a couple of our children chipped in at Christmas to buy us a harbour cruise. So this was a wonderful gift. So New Year's Day, I think it was, we went down to the wharf. We sat, we had a coffee, we waited for the ferry to come in. We got on board, we rushed on board, get some good seats. We went out into the harbour. As we were going around, we were told some things about points of interest. We got to Rangitoto. They said, you've got 10 minutes. You can basically get off, go to the end of wharf, and you've got to come back. So we did that. We rushed off. We rushed back on. We came back along the harbour, back past Devonport, up towards the Auckland Harbour Bridge. And then we came back, and you know what? We arrived at exactly the same place that we left. And we enjoyed it. It was a lovely excursion. But in the end, we hadn't really made much progress. This is not the sort of trip we are on as a church. We're not returning to the comfort of how things were or how things used to be. We're not going to go round and round in circles, always arriving back at the same place. We're not setting out for a couple of hours sailing on Sunday morning around a familiar harbour, enjoy the scenery. Rather, we're putting out to sea, to the unfamiliar, to the place that we haven't journeyed before. We're not going to put our energies into returning to port, into recreating a treasured past. Rather, we're setting out on this journey to this destination that God is calling us to. And while this journey has a certain future, the path towards it requires faith as we set out and as we travel together, trusting that God will reveal the way to us. It's a journey of change, of progress, of advancing the kingdom of God. It's a transformational journey in which the Spirit of God will work in our hearts individually and work amongst us as a church, in which we will change inwardly and outwardly, finding expressions, ways of expressing our faith in contemporary ways to reach a new generation with the gospel. I've been here now just over 2 years. My first year here, I had a sense of growing momentum into our journey. And the second year, there were three things for which we had to slow down. Now, when you're navigating through difficult waters, you do have to slow down. And firstly, here at Mount Eden, we needed to move from our church and to become established worshipping here in the hall. And secondly, we decided to amalgamate with Epsom. And thirdly, our community minister was unwell, and we missed him and his input and the gifts that he would bring to the church. Now, it's not bad that we slowed down. When you're going through difficult waters, of course you slow down. so that you make sure that you're not going to damage things as you move through those difficult places. We adjusted to meeting for worship here in the hall. As new people came on board, we changed and adapted to the new situation. And we prayed and waited for Ron's recovery and for his return from study leave. But now we need to pick up speed again and once again to set up with more momentum. We need to continue in this journey and to return to our course. Every voyage has a chart, a compass. Ours is the scriptures, the Bible. And from the Bible, we see the way ahead of us, the guidance for the journey, the direction for the path. Now, as I was coming to Greyfriars and beginning to leave Tohunanui, there were some things going round in my mind as God was challenging me and speaking to me. And among those things was to try and find a way of expressing the gospel truth in short phrases that people in the community could understand, but which also had sufficient depth that people within the church could see them and go deeper and deeper with them. And so this was the signs of a healthy church, and we've talked about these things before. Living in love, growing in faith, uniting in purpose, being devoted in worship, sharing in fellowship, proclaiming the gospel, serving with compassion. These are phrases, attitudes, characteristics taken from the scriptures, which are essential for any Christian who will be healthy in their spiritual life. And it's also essential for any church that will follow Jesus. Other churches may express it differently. This is how we express it in this place. And when I think of these things in light of the image that we are a ship set sail, I see these as the safe channels, the shipping lanes, the marks and the compass that God has given us along the way. These things not only keep us out of danger, not only keep us off the reefs and the shallows, they also lead us into the joys, the encouragements, the great things that God has for us. And so we look for these markers as signs along the way, love and faith and unity, purpose and worship and fellowship, evangelism and service. These are the channels in which we will sail. These are the ways in which we will move. Now, I've also included for you an exercise in the bulletin. And even if you go to another church, you can find this helpful for your own church to think about this. But look at this. It has these signs: living in love, growing in faith, uniting in purpose. And ask, how are you doing? How are you doing in those things? Mark yourself out of 1 to 10. 1's not doing very well. 10's doing wonderfully. Don't just sit there and go 5, 5, 5, 5. Think about it and what God is doing in your life. And you'll find it really helpful. Take a moment. Am I living in love? Am I growing in faith? Am I more devoted in worship now than I was 6 months ago? Am I more inclined to share in fellowship than I was 3 months ago? Do it before God and be honest with yourself. And do the same for the church. You get an idea of how you see our church, where you see our strengths and where you see our weaknesses. Now, this is not an exercise in mumbling, grumbling, and criticizing the church because some of these things are low. Neither is it an exercise in criticizing the church leadership or the ministers. It's meant to be a positive exercise to look at things that we need to improve and to be able to rejoice in the things that we're doing well. Winning teams, even teams that just win by a little margin, like the All Blacks, need to stop and look and see how their game is going. Because if they don't, the other teams will, and the other teams will advance while they stay stagnant. And it's the same for us as a church. We need to think, how are we doing? How are we going? Are we doing things better than we were before? Are we working in ways that God can bless us so that we are improving the way we live this life that God has given to us? So we are a ship set sail. And I wonder what sort of ship you see us as being. Maybe America's Cup yacht, sleek and flying through the waters, but only able to go out when the wind is just right. Or maybe you might see us as a Cook Strait ferry, maybe the Aratea, having mechanical problems, stuck in port for repairs. Or maybe you see us as a cruise liner, luxury restaurants, shopping malls, swimming pools, top-of-the-line entertainment, wave machines, everything for us. Or perhaps like a museum, like the HMS Belfast moored in the River Thames. Nicely polished, nicely painted, but a relic of the past. Or like the Cutty Sark, a great ship in its day, well preserved but going nowhere. Or dare I say it, the Mary Celeste, a ship found drifting in the Atlantic in 1872 with the crew mysteriously missing. However you might see us, I don't want us to be stuck in port because we can't handle the high winds, we're having mechanical problems, or the crew is having some dispute. I don't want us to think of ourselves as tourists just on board to be pampered and to be looked after as we lounge around and soak up the sun. We want the good ship Eden Epsom to be underway, to be making progress, to be accomplishing what God wants us to do. Now, as I was thinking about this, the verse from Habakkuk came to mind. And I would like us to use this as a prayer for the rest of the year. Use it individually, perhaps use it as a church. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, and our time make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, the book of Habakkuk is quite short. It's only 3 chapters long. It begins with 2 questions. How long? Like traveling in the car with kids. How long and why? And Habakkuk asks these questions in very difficult times. He's watching the Babylonians come to lay siege in Judah and against the city of Jerusalem. And he knows that the kingdom is at a low ebb. The sin of the kings and the people had brought them to this really low spiritual place. And God was going to punish them, to work through them, to change things by taking them into captivity with this Babylonian army. And Habakkuk is distressed by this. And he asks, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? And why do you make me look at injustice? But by the end of this, he's no longer questioning God in these ways. Rather, he makes one of the greatest statements of faith that you find in the scriptures. Though the fig tree does not bud, though there's no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in God my Savior. And what he's basically saying is this. If the very worst happens, if all that can go wrong does go wrong, even then I'm going to praise God. I'm going to rejoice in God, even in those worst of times. And so the verse that I'm suggesting to you that we pray is not a verse that was written when everything was rosy and going well. Rather, it's a verse that was written in adversity, when things seem to be going wrong. It's a verse that has strength because it comes from the midst of a storm in which it's anchored in strong faith despite the circumstances. And then he comes to this in chapter 3. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. We too have heard of God's fame. We read of it in the scriptures. We see something of it in the highlights that we have before us. We know of his power in creation, leading the people through the Red Sea, the miracles he did in the time of Jesus. We too are in awe of God when we reflect on who he is, when we think about what he has done. We delight in the great stories of faith, in the wonders of ancient times. And like Habakkuk, we want to see God's power worked among us today. And building on what we have heard of God and on the awe in which we hold God, we invite God to come and to act in our day, in our generation, in our situation. As individuals and as a church, I want us to be encouraged as we remember the great deeds of God and we ask God again, Lord, again, today in our day, let your deeds be renewed. Let us see these wonderful things in our day. And so with this prayer in mind, let's take a moment to think about the journey that lies ahead. This is not the time for us as a church to get comfortable, to sit back and to rest as if we were tourists biding our time while we're waiting on God coming. And although there are many good things in our church that we can celebrate, we can't be content with where we are as a church. When we look at our wider community, we can't be content that there are some people wallowing out there in the seas when there's plenty of room for them here in our ship. Earlier this year, we had to postpone our Alpha course because we didn't have sufficient people on the team to enable it to go ahead. Now, that is not a criticism of anyone, especially not those who were willing to help. But it does point to a weakness in our church life that we need to deal with. We have decided to hold services at Epsom each week, and while that helps us with continuity with the 9 o'clock service, it doesn't help us with our desire to build unity following the amalgamation. And while we have a wonderful youth group here at Mount Eden and it's going well, we have no youth group at Epsom. And there are hundreds of youth group children in our area and we're simply not reaching them. And we have wonderful elderly people who worship at both our church sites. But we don't have an overall plan for our seniors' ministry to help older members grow in their faith and reach out in their faith to others who are around them. There are all sorts of gaps in our church life, vacancies where we need people to stand up and to volunteer. Now, I'm not saying any of this to discourage you or to make you feel guilty or to manipulate you into some ministry. Rather, I'm saying this because we as a church cannot remain where we are. We cannot turn back the hands of time to some golden era where more people came to church and Sunday school was overflowing and the church was just how we liked it. God hasn't made time like that. In a moment, in a breath, the present fades into the future. There's nothing more we can do to change it into the past. There's nothing we can do to change that past. But we can change the future. We can use our time, our energy, our skills to shape how things will be in the weeks and the months and the years ahead. And we have a wonderful opportunity at the moment to use our resources of land and buildings to set up our church for the future. And we're about to start some discussions about the future of our buildings. These discussions are not about preserving what we have, but using what we have to establish a church that will give us every opportunity to be able to flourish as a spiritual center in the city, a place that is attractive and functional, not just in our day, but something that will be good for Christians who come here in 50 years' time. Now, our short-term plan involves growing disciples who will follow Jesus. We need that to happen. It involves growing leaders. We need people to step up into leadership who will help us to build effective ministries in this church. We are aiming at a growing attendance so that we will have 350 people at our morning worship. That means 175 adults at each service. That means we need to be a church that is growing. Now, I want you to take a moment, that highlights page that I printed for you. Can you imagine a highlights page that includes 20 adult baptisms with new converts confessing their faith in Jesus, where we have just started up 10 new home groups, where we have a purpose-built church, where we have a kid zone with 50 children on each site, where we have a new intermediate youth group that's operating, where we have a seniors ministry with ministries for newly retired and those who are elderly, even those who are beginning to become frail, where we are able to say that we've just sent out 5 new missionary couples overseas on long or short-term mission, where our Mainly Music and our play group are running 5 mornings a week, reaching over 200 families in our community. And you say to me, John, get a life. Get real. Get real, John. And I say, let's get faith. Let's get faith. The wonderful thing about imagining these things is that the Bible tells us that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. God's able to do more than we can imagine. I can imagine a lot. Let's get imagining some of these things and bringing the task to God. This is what we can imagine. Let us see you do more than we can imagine or ask, according to his power that is at work in us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see, God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. God can do this, not just in the past, not just in the stuff that's written in the Bible, but he can do it in our day. And this is why we ask him, Lord, renew your deeds in our day and our time, make them known. So let's be a church and a people who celebrate what God has done for us and who pray for God to renew and reveal his awesome deeds in our day. Let's look ahead with faith, powering ahead as a ship sets sail, open to change, not simply embracing change, but actively seeking the change that will see the kingdom of God grow and flourish in our time, eagerly looking for opportunities to grow as disciples, to encourage and build each other up in the faith. Let's be that church. Let's be that people. And all of this to the glory and fame, to the honor of God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we look at our spiritual lives and reflect over the last 6 months, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be honest with ourselves. And if there is something that needs attention, help us, Lord, to find ways of dealing with that. To speak to a friend. To join a home group. To do whatever needs to happen so that that will be strengthened. And at the same time, Lord, we thank you for the journey you're taking us on and for the wonderful things that have been happening. We are so pleased. We know that you have accomplished these through us. We're so pleased for every good thing that you have done in the life of this parish and in our lives individually. And so, Lord, we pray more. By your Spirit, bring more of that into our midst. By your Spirit, renew these things again and again and again in our hearts and in our lives. Oh Lord, let us be a church that is set out on this journey, hoisting the sails and catching the power of your Spirit blowing on us, moving us, motivating us, leading us into the future. Lord, I pray that when we come to Christmas and New Year, as we look back over that 6 months, the 6 months we're about to live through, that we would be able to look back and see wonderful things that you have done, amazing things that you have done, people that you have brought to faith, lives that you have changed, that you have shaped us as a church, and you have set us on a path, perhaps even one that will be surprising for us, but one which will allow your kingdom to come among us. Oh Lord, we cry out to you for that. Allow it to happen, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.